Hello, listeners, and welcome back to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a daily Bible reading podcast from Israel. I'm Johanna, your reader today. Today is Monday, the 19th of October, and on the Hebrew calendar, it is Rosh Chodesh Day 2. It's the second day of the new moon for the first of Cheshvan. This week, our parasha is called Noach, or Noah, and today's portion from the Torah is Genesis 7, 1 through 16. Before I begin to read, let's take a moment to bless God and to thank Him for giving us His Word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to His people Israel and to all peoples through His Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come, you and all your household, into the ark, for you only do I perceive as righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean animal you shall take with you seven of each kind, male and female. And of the animals which themselves are not clean, two, male and female. Also of the flying creatures of the sky, seven of every kind, male and female, to keep offspring alive on the face of the whole land. For in seven more days I'm going to make it rain upon the land 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe out all existence that I made from the face of the ground." So Noah did all just as the Lord commanded him. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood came, water upon the land. So Noah, his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives entered the ark because of the flood waters. Of the clean animals and unclean animals, the flying creatures and everything that crawls on the ground, two by two they came to Noah, into the ark, male and female, just as God commanded Noah. After the 7 days, the flood waters were upon the land. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on this day, all the water sources of the great deep burst open, and the windows of the sky were opened. Then there was rain upon the land, 40 days and 40 nights. On that same day, Noah, along with Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Yefet, Noah's wife, and the three wives of Noah's sons with them, entered the ark, they and every animal according to its kind, and all the livestock according to its kind, and every crawling creature that crawls on the land according to its kind, and every flying creature according to its kind, every bird, every winged creature. So to Noah and into the ark they went by twos, all flesh in which there was the spirit of life. Those that came, male and female of all flesh, came just as God commanded him. Then the Lord shut him in. The flood was 40 days upon the land, and the waters increased and lifted the ark, so that it rose above the land. That was Genesis 7, 1 through 16. Today our portion from the prophets is Joshua 11 and 12. Now, when Yavin, king of Chatzor, heard about it, he sent word to Yovav, king of Madon, to the king of Shimron, to the king of Achshaf, and to the kings of the north, in the hill country, in the Arava south of Kinnerot, in the lowland, and in the regions of Dor to the west, the Canaanites in the east and west, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites in the hill country, and the Hivites at the foot of Hermon, in the land of Mitzpah. So they came out, they and all their armies with them, a multitude with as many people as the sand on the seashore, with very many horses and chariots. All these kings joined forces, came and camped together at the waters of Merom to fight with Israel. But the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid because of them, for tomorrow at this time I will give all of them slain before Israel. You are to hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire." So Joshua and all the people of war with him attacked them suddenly at the waters of Merom and fell upon them. Then the Lord gave them into the hand of Israel. So they defeated them and chased them as far as Great Sidon and Mislephot Maim, and up to the valley of Mitzpah eastward. They struck them down until they left them no survivors. Joshua did to them as the Lord had instructed him. He hamstrung their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. At that time, Joshua turned back and captured Hazor and struck its king with the sword, because Hazor had formerly been the head of all those kingdoms. They struck down every single soul in it with the edge of the sword, putting them to the ban. There was none left that breathed after he burned Hazor with fire. Thus Joshua captured all the cities of those kings and all their kings, and he struck them with the edge of the sword, putting them to the ban, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. But as for the cities that stood on their mounds, Israel did not burn any of them except Hazor alone, which Joshua did burn. All the spoil of these cities and the cattle Bnei Israel took as their booty, but they struck down every person with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, not sparing anyone who breathed. Just as the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So Joshua captured all this land, the hill country, the Negev, all the land of Goshen, the lowland, the Arava, the hill country of Israel and its lowland, from the Mount Halak that ascends to Seir, all the way to Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon, at the foot of Mount Hermon. He captured all their kings, struck them down, and put them to death. For a long time, Joshua made war with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with Bnei Israel, except the Hivites who inhabited Gibeon. All the rest they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, to encounter Israel in battle, that they might be put to the ban, that they might receive no mercy, in order to destroy them as the Lord had commanded Moses. At that time, Joshua went and cut off the Anakim from the hill country, from Hebron, Debir, and Nav, and from the entire hill country of Judah, and from the entire hill country of Israel. Joshua put a ban on them with their cities. There was none of the Anakim left in the land of Bnei Israel, except some were left in Gaza, Gat, and Ashdod. So Joshua captured the whole country, according to all that the Lord had spoken to Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes. Then the land had rest from war. Now these are the kings of the land whom Bnei Israel defeated, and possessed their land beyond the Jordan, toward the sunrise, from the valley of the Arnon to Mount Hermon, and all the Arava eastward. King Sihon of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon and ruled from Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of the Arnon, and the middle of the valley, and half Gilad, even up to the Yabok River, the border of the children of Ammon, and the Arava up to the sea of Kinneroth eastward, and as far as the sea of the Arava, the Salt Sea, eastward the way to Bet Yeshimot, and on the south, at the foot of the slopes of Pisgah. Also, the territory of King Og of Bashan, one of the remnants of the Rephaim, who lived at Ashtaroth and at Edrei, and ruled over Mount Hermon, and Salka, and all Bashan, as far as the border of the Geshurites and the Maacathites, and half of Gilad as far as the border of King Sihon of Heshbon. Moses, the servant of the Lord, and Bnei Israel defeated them. Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it as a possession to the Reubenites, Gadites, and half-tribe of Manasseh. Now these are the kings of the land whom Joshua and Bnei Israel defeated beyond the Jordan westward, from Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon to Mount Halak that goes up to Seir. Joshua gave it to the tribes of Israel for a possession according to their divisions. In the hill country, in the lowland, in the Arava, on the slopes, in the wilderness and in the Negev, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. One king of Jericho, one king of Ai, which was near Bethel, one king of Jerusalem, one king of Hebron, one king of Yarmut, one king of Lachish, one king of Eglon, one king of Gezer, one king of Debir, one king of Geder, one king of Horma, one king of Arad, one king of Livna, one king of Adullam, one king of Makeda, one king of Beitel, one king of Tapuach, one king of Hefer, one king of Afek, one king of Sharon, one king of Madon, one king of Chatzor, one king of Shimron Meron, one king of Achshaf, one king of Ta'anach, one king of Megiddo, one king of Kedesh, one king of Yokneam in Carmel, one king of Dor in the region of Dor, one king of Goim in the Gilgal, one king of Tirzah, for a total of 31 kings. That was Joshua chapters 11 and 12. Today's portion from the writings is Psalms 10. Why, Lord, are you standing far off? Why hide yourself in times of trouble? In pride, the wicked hotly hunts the poor. Let them be caught in the plots they have planned. For the wicked one boasts about his soul's desire. The greedy one curses, reviling the Lord. The wicked one with his nose in the air never seeks him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. All his ways are secure at all times. He haughtily disregards your judgments. He snorts at all his adversaries. He says in his heart, I'll never be shaken. From generation to generation, nothing bad will happen. His mouth is full of cursing, lies, and oppression. On his tongue are trouble and iniquity. He lies in ambush near villages. In hidden places he slays the innocent. His eyes watch in secret for the helpless. He lurks in a hiding place like a lion in a thicket. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the unfortunate one, dragging him away in his net. The victim is crushed, brought down, and falls into his mighty claws. He says in his heart, God has forgotten, he hides his face, he will never see it. Arise, Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the afflicted. Why does the wicked one revile God? He says in his heart, you will never require anything. You saw, for you see trouble and grief, to take it in your hand. The victim puts his trust in you. You are the helper of the orphan. Break the arm of the wicked, evil one. Call him to account for his wickedness until no more is found. The Lord is king forever and ever. Nations will be wiped off his land. You hear, Lord, the desire of the meek. You encourage them and incline your ear. You vindicate the orphan and oppressed, so that man who is earthly may terrify no more. That was Psalm 10. Our final portion for today is from the apostles, and it is Matthew 8. When he came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him, and a man with tzaraath came to him and bowed down before him, saying, "Master, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Yeshua stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately his tzaraath was cleansed, and Yeshua said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go, show yourself to the Kohen, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Now when Yeshua came into Capernaum, a centurion came begging for help. "Master," he said, "my servant is lying at home paralyzed, horribly tormented." Yeshua said to him, "I'll come and heal him." But the centurion said, "Master, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." Now when Yeshua heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, "Amen, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Moreover, I tell you that many will come from the east and the west, and they will recline at table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be driven out into the outer darkness. In that place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Yeshua said to the centurion, "Go, as you have believed, let it be done for you." And the servant was healed in that same hour. And when Yeshua came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying down sick with a fever. Yeshua touched her hand, and the fever left her. Then she got up and began to take care of him. When evening came, the people brought to him many who were afflicted by demons. He forced out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. So was fulfilled what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our sicknesses and carried away our diseases." Now when Yeshua saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go to the other side of the sea. Then a Torah scholar came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Yeshua tells him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then another of the disciples said, "Master, first let me go and bury my father." But Yeshua tells him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." As he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a great storm arose on the sea, so that the boat was being covered by the waves. But Yeshua kept on sleeping. So they came and woke him up, saying, "Master, save us, we're perishing." He said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became totally calm. The men were amazed, saying, "What kind of person is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him." When he came to the other side, into the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-plagued men coming from the graveyard met him. They were so violent that no one could pass by that way, and they screamed, "What's between you and us, Ben Elohim? Have you come here to torment us before the appointed time?" Now, a large herd of pigs was feeding some distance away from them. The demons kept begging him, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." And he told them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the cliff into the sea and drowned. The herdsmen ran away and went into the town and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-plagued men. The whole town came out to meet Yeshua, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their region. That was Matthew chapter 8. If you are reading through the apostolic writings twice in this year's cycle, your second reading today is 1 Peter chapter 3. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. May you be blessed today. I want to remind you also that you can find us online at dailybreadmoms.com and also on Instagram at dailybreadmoms. Thanks again. I'm Johanna with Daily Bread for Busy Moms. Shalom until next time.